Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. We are coming to you on a very rainy Wednesday. It is October 2nd, 2019, and it is really raining. But you know what? You know, I like the rain when I'm about to go to sleep. It's very relaxing. I find it calming. But, you know, when it bleeds over into the day, it just kind of puts you in like a gloom and doom mood a bit, right? No, the sun is not shining. It is going to be overcast, you know, cloudy and rainy, and a bit chilly, I must add. You know, fall is here, folks. Throughout the day. So we hope to add some sunshine to your Wednesday with a great hour of current sports. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your day. And on today's show, got a few things to tackle. Today, Big Ten Basketball Media Day got underway out in Illinois. And many head coaches throughout the Big Ten, every head coach, actually, in the Big Ten, on the hardwood, spoke, starting with Big Ten commish Jim Delaney, who got things kicked off around 9 a.m., and then you had, like, 10-minute increments in which every coach within the Big Ten Basketball Conference took the podium and fielded questions, all right? So today, courtesy of the Big Ten Network, we will have audio for you guys from Michigan State men's basketball coach Tom Izzo's media availability. Tom Izzo spoke around 10:20 a.m. and he addressed the upcoming season as his Spartans, picked by everybody out there to win the Big Ten Conference this year. His Spartans also, according to many publications out there, the number one ranked preseason basketball team coming into this upcoming season. Pretty amazing stuff. High expectations for the Spartans this upcoming year. And I'm going to go through the preseason award list. And no surprise, a few names from the green and white are headlining multiple awards there, including point guard Cassius Winston. And also, this is a conversation, you know, it was kind of funny listening back to how we close things on Tuesday's current sports, because I got so caught up in my show-ending monologue discussing this new California bill that will allow college athletes to be paid. Now, I looked up at the clock and it didn't hit me until late that the show had ended and I was still ranting. So that was pretty funny. And Jack Kerwin, engineer of yesterday's current sports, he kind of takes some of that responsibility as well. But as the host, I should know that, Jack.
No, that one's absolutely on me. I didn't have the music playing. So that one's on me, beautiful people. Great production work from me to close out yesterday's show.
It happens. Thank you, Jack. But you know, with that being said, obviously I still had some things to get off my chest. And this is the hot button topic in the sports world this week. I believe just about every head coach was asked the question, what are your thoughts on college athletes and this new California bill that will possibly allow college athletes to get paid? Out in Cali, this will go through. know, it's a California bill, but can we see this extend to other states? Will we see this have a domino effect that allows athletes, no matter what state you live in, if you play at a university, you can seek compensation? What do you think of that? Well, many of these head coaches answered and gave the politically correct answer. Tom Izzo was asked that question. You'll hear a bit of what he had to say. So don't miss that conversation. And I also want to touch on the Detroit Lions today, because I believe the football world is a bit confused right now. Why do I say that? Well, if you just look at the various websites that rank the NFL power rankings on a weekly basis, the Detroit Lions, where the Detroit Lions are placed, depends on where you read, because everybody has the Lions either in the top 10, you know, like at like 9 or 10 or 15, 16, 18, 20. I mean, it's everywhere. And I get it, because a lot of people are looking at what the Lions have done so far, including pushing one of the best teams in the National Football League to the brink on Sunday and saying, okay, is this team legit or not? This is still the Detroit Lions, though, right? So a lot of people are confused. I want to tackle that later on this hour as well, all right? So a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can watch and comment below the live stream there. You can also tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. Let's start here. No surprise that Michigan State senior point guard Cassius Winston, he was named the Big Ten Conference Preseason Player of the Year today at the league's annual media day at the Rosemont Hilton out in Illinois. No surprise. Cassius Winston was the best point guard in the nation last year. He returns. You figure he's only going to get better, right? So no surprise that he is named the Big Ten Conference Preseason Player of the Year. Winston was a unanimous selection as the Preseason Player of the Year and was one of three unanimous selections to the 10-player All-Big Ten team. He was joined on the All-Big Ten team by Michigan State junior forward Xavier Tillman. Now, he is the second MSU player in the last 3 years named Preseason Big Ten Player of the Year. He joins Miles Bridges, who was recognized back in 2017. All right. Tom Izzo also, again, he left the podium after about 7 minutes this morning, and Fran McCaffrey strode up a few seconds later. Iowa's coach summed up what the rest of the Big Ten thinks about Michigan State basketball this season. This is what Fran had to say. Quote, of his own team, I should say. Quote, got a lot of new faces, and I think that's the challenge, especially going into a season where Michigan State is the clear favorite. So the conference knows that Michigan State is the big dog going into this Big Ten year. MSU coming off a Final Four appearance, its eighth under Tom Izzo, with the returning Big Ten Player of the Year in Cassius, and regular season and postseason tournament titles in 2019. Winston was also named the unanimous Preseason Player of the Year, as I mentioned. Izzo echo what he told reporters last week as he preps to enter his 25th season. Quote, I've got a good team that I like with still a lot of question marks. More on Big Ten Basketball Media Day in just a moment. The Michigan State men's soccer program shut out by Penn State 3-0 last night at the Martin Stadium. This is what head coach Damon Rensing had to say. Quote, the biggest difference from the last game was I thought we were all tied in together as a group. Obviously, a couple things went our way on Friday night. They didn't tonight. I thought it was disappointing to give up that goal on a throw-in. I thought our response in the second half was very good for the first 10 to 12 minutes. Unfortunately, to not get a tying goal there, and that's probably what we needed, and it didn't happen. Credit Penn State. They were sharp tonight. They were focused. They moved the ball well. The Spartans sit 1-5-2 overall, 1-1 in the Big Ten Conference. The Nittany Lions improved to 5-1-2, 2-0-1 in league action. All right, this is pretty cool. The Detroit Pistons are here in East Lansing. Blake Griffin and the Detroit Pistons are using Michigan State's Breslin Center as the home for their training camp this week. And while the Pistons are conducting drills in East Lansing the next few days, the public will have the chance to get a glimpse of Griffin and Andre Drummond, new addition Derrick Rose, and the rest of the team this weekend. As the Pistons announced yesterday afternoon that the second half of Saturday's practice at the Breslin will be open to the public. Doors to the Breslin are scheduled to open around 11 a.m. Very cool stuff. The Pistons here in East Lansing. All right, Kirk Cousins, former Michigan State quarterback, great, now quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. He had a rough week, and now he's apologizing for it. As the Vikings quarterback had a miserable outing in that 16-6 loss to the Chicago Bears, fumbling twice, taking six sacks without finding the end zone. After the game, wide receiver Adam Thielen, he actually called Cousins out to reporters. Quote, at some point, you're not going to be able to run the ball for 180 yards, even with the best running back in the NFL. That's when you have to be able to throw the ball. You have to be able to hit the deep balls. Oh, Adam, tell us how you really feel. He went on to say, oh, no, Kirk. So Kirk Cousins has this radio show. He has a weekly radio show, I believe, called Under Center with Kirk Cousins. And this just goes to show how nice of a guy Kirk Cousins is, even with Adam Thielen calling him out like that. This is what Kirk said on the radio show. Quote, I really want to apologize to Thielen because there's too many opportunities where we could have hit him on Sunday. I've watched the film, and the reality is there were opportunities for Thielen. The one that's most obvious is the 3rd and 10 at the beginning of the game. We are near midfield. That's arguably 7 points. If you put the ball where it needs to be, number 19 is going to show that he will make that play. Adam's not just a really good player or one of the best players on the Vikings. He's one of the best players in the National Football League, one of the best players in the world, period, regardless of position. And so we want to. We need to. I need to get him more opportunities, get him the football. Jack, I just got to say, this is kind of weak sauce, isn't it? This is weak sauce. I mean,
from Cousins to apologize?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I was thinking when I read it.
Right? I mean, like, come on, man. I mean, wide receivers kill me. No, anybody who does not play the quarterback position in the National Football League, it is impossible to understand what a quarterback is going through down after down. Quarterback is just, it's just a different position. So for Thielen to call out Cousins, it's wrong, first off. You don't call out your teammates. If you do, you do it to his face in the locker room. You don't do it in the media. That was wrong. But if you do, you gotta just take a step back and realize this is your quarterback. I know he's not playing well. Kirk, I think I think a lot of people are starting to see his true colors. I thought he was overrated to begin with. He had a few good outings, but all the hype around Kirk Cousins when it was happening, I did not understand it out in Washington, but it is what it is.
He is the worst good quarterback of all time.
I think that's a good way to put it, Jack.
Well, exactly.
I
like,
kind of know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like, no one's going to say Mitch Trubisky's a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. No one's going to say Blake Bortles is a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins.
Right.
But to your point, when he was in Washington, some people thought Kirk Cousins was, like, a good quarterback, and it's very clear that he's just not.
He's just not. I just didn't understand it. Yeah, he made a few great throws, and, you know, he's a gritty player, fun to watch, and he had a few good games, but come on, man. And we saw him at Michigan State. I mean, he was a good quarterback, but So anyway, beside the point, you don't do this if you're Adam Thielen, but to apologize, it's like, Kirk, put your foot down,
man. Makes him look soft, to be honest.
It really does. It really does. But that's Kirk Cousins for you. He's a nice guy. What's that old saying? Sometimes nice guys finish last. All right, did you check out last night's wild card game in the major leagues? That was fun to watch. I tuned in. I started watching around like the seventh inning. And it looked like Milwaukee was going to pull out this thing. I love wild card games. I love one game elimination, period, when it comes to no matter what sport you're talking about in professional sports. And that was just fun to watch. In the eighth, when it looked like Milwaukee was going to win this thing, the Washington Nationals did something that they really don't do. They came back. They came back and won this thing. 4-3, your final. Juan Soto, he hit the eventual game-winning double in the eighth inning when Washington was trailing 3-1 with the win. The Nats will next travel to L.A. to take on the Dodgers in the NLDS. That was fun stuff. And tonight, you can catch the second wild card game in the majors as Tampa Bay, the Rays, will take on Oakland, the A's, out in Oakland. That will be an 8 p.m. start. You can catch that on ESPN. So I love one-game eliminations. That's just fun stuff. That was fun to watch last night. Did not expect Milwaukee to just fumble the way they did. All right, and check this. A Houston mattress salesman, an Astros fan, clearly, he placed one of the highest bets ever taken by a U.S. bookmaker in Mississippi yesterday. Jim Mattress Mac. That's his nickname. Mattress Mac. I won't even try and pronounce his last name. Just he's Mattress Mac out there, all right? He's the owner of Houston's Gallery Furniture. He bet $3.5 million on the Astros, who did have the best record in the majors this year, to win the World Series at Scarlet Pearl Casino's DraftKings Sportsbook out in Mississippi. Mattress Mac, he showed up with a briefcase. This is like a scene from Casino. Showed up with a briefcase filled with cash and showed off his betting ticket after making his wager at plus 220 odds. You could earn $7.7 million if the Astros are crowned World Series champions. That's amazing, Jack. I didn't know the mattress business was as lucrative as it is. I mean, he just walks in with $3.5 million. Like, yeah, give me Houston. We need to get in the mattress business, man.
Apparently, yeah, we can have a little discussion here after the show about what our next venture will be.
Yeah, for sure, right? Mattress Mac. Yeah, that's how you do it, man. All right, and last but not least, since being founded in 2012. The Detroit City FC men's soccer team has achieved a passionate following of fans across Metro Detroit. Really cool to see the growth of Detroit City FC. A grassroots success story that has captured national attention for its relationship between the fans. Now, DCFC is the beacon of professional soccer in Detroit. Now, DCFC is looking to put women's soccer in the spotlight. Very cool story. Announced on Monday, DCFC unveiled the plans for the Detroit City FC women's team set to begin play in United Women's Soccer in the spring of 2020. Set to play its home matches at Hamtramck's Keyworth Stadium. As the same location for the men's team home games, the DCFC women's team will play in the UWS Midwest Conference that includes other Michigan women's teams, including AFC Ann Arbor, Detroit Sun, Grand Rapids FC, Indiana Union, Lansing United, and Michigan Legends. Awesome, awesome stuff there. We'll see if the women's soccer team of Detroit City FC is able to garner some of the same attention that the men's squad has. That's awesome stuff. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
I don't think I'm giving a politician's answer. I've learned over the last few years that it's hard to comment on things that you don't know a lot about. And I don't know. I just, all this stuff gets thrown at you. I don't know what it'll be like to be on a team if some guy's doing this and some guy's getting nothing. I don't know what that does to the chemistry. I don't know how many people it's really going to benefit or to what level, Myron, it's going to benefit anybody. So I wish I could get more information, but if I said one thing that I think we should do, I think we got to get in front of this a little bit more. I think sometimes we're a little bit reactive, meaning schools, NCAA, whatever, and I think sooner or later we got to get a little more proactive. But I'm big on helping people with cancer, and I'm big on the Coaches for Cancer. And every time I go to an event where I was trying to do more and raise more and this and that, and every once in a while I tell people, don't forget what we've accomplished. I mean, we've made great strides in that area.
All right, shout out to DJ Jazzy Jeff. Love that instrumental. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports, if you're just now tuning in. That was the voice of Tom Izzo. A bit of what he had to say during his media availability at Big Ten Media Days out in Illinois. Every coach spoke, and every coach, including Izzo, knows that Michigan State is pretty darn good. Michigan State men's basketball is going to be so fun to watch. So much talent everywhere you look. And I'm probably the player I'm most excited to watch is Cassius Winston. That's my guy. I love watching him play the point guard position. It's beautiful. It really is. And if he was that good last year, I mean, what else can... Maybe his defense? Other than that, I mean, what else can Cassius Winston improve on at this point? I mean, he's got eyes in the back of his head. He can shoot the blood out the basketball. Yeah, probably defense. I don't, and I'm really grasping at that. I mean, by his body, I would like, hopefully he's been hitting the gym and getting, you know, putting some pounds on, but he's the unanimous preseason Big Ten Player of the Year. As I mentioned in the headliners, Cassius Winston is that guy. And when it comes to the preseason Big Ten poll, just to show you how convincingly good this team already is before a game has begun in the Big Ten basketball schedule, Michigan State received 112 votes, 8 first place votes, so unanimous number one selection. Number 2, Ohio State, 3, Maryland, 4, Purdue, 5 is a bit of a surprise. Michigan comes in at number 5. And the reason why I say it's a surprise, because, you know, they're kind of reloading this year, kind of not, though. I mean, but you have Teske, right? And you've got Simpson coming back. By the way, Jack, did you see the story about Simpson? He's going to be rocking, of all things, a headband this season. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like he's biting off of, I don't know, Cassius Winston?
See, there are jokes I could make that I'm sure have been made 1,000 times on Twitter about how he's taking after his father, Cassius, by wearing a headband.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to make those comments, so I'll just leave it at that, I guess. No, I didn't know he was going to be wearing a headband this
year.
That's what
I heard. Will
he have a jump shot?
We know he's got the hook shot.
Yeah, he does have the hook shot. It's crazy that he's learned that impossible hook shot, but he still doesn't really have a jump shot to his game.
I know, isn't it amazing? But yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I read on Twitter. So I believe it's true, but I don't know if that's the rumor right now. That he's going to rock a headband this season. We'll see. But, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of question marks about Michigan. And, again, when you lose a coach like John Beilein, you're losing something, right? We don't know what kind of style of play Juwan Howard is going to run out there. That's the big question as well. He hasn't really given us insight into that. But Michigan comes in at number 5. Number 6, Wisconsin. 7, Illinois. 8, Iowa, 9, Indiana, 10, Penn State, 11, Nebraska, 12, Minnesota, and then the bottom feeders, 13, Rutgers, 14, Northwestern. When it comes to the preseason, all Big Ten teams, first team, Cassius Winston, we all know that. Ayo Dosunmu, sophomore out in Illinois. Jalen Smith out in Maryland, he's a sophomore. As we all know, Cassius is a senior. Lamar Stevens, the senior from Penn State, the senior forward from Penn State, and Caleb Wesson, the junior forward at Ohio State. That is how your first team looks.
Caleb Wesson came back to school?
Yeah.
I know he declared for the draft. Okay, yeah, I didn't Caleb know that. Wesson I didn't know back. That he came back to school. All right, good to know.
Yeah, the junior came back. Second team, this is how the second team looks. You've got point guard Xavier Simpson, senior from Michigan. Senior point guard from Michigan. Anthony Cohen, the guard from Maryland, he makes that list as well. Joe Weiskamp out in Iowa, the sophomore guard. Xavier Tillman, the junior at Michigan State, so he makes the second team. And then you have Matt Harms, the junior from Purdue, the big center there. He makes the All-Big Ten second team. So just wanted to kind of pass along that information. And when it comes to, you know, you got a lot of individuals that vote on this, and a lot of people are picking Tom Izzo to be the coach of the year this year in the Big Ten Conference. When it comes to the freshman of the year, I saw that many writers out there are picking DJ Carton. I've heard a lot about this kid, point guard at Ohio State, to be the freshman player of the year. I've watched his highlight tape. The dude can ball. I'm excited to see him play this season. And then as I mentioned, a few votes too for, you know, Chris Holtman at Ohio State for coach of the year as well. Matt Painter at Purdue. Purdue is never an easy game. He's also being picked by a few to be and, you know, to win the coach of the year award as well. And again, it's pretty much unanimous across the board that Cassius Winston is going to be the Big Ten player of the year. So, just real quick, before we roll in the Tom Izzo press conference here, Jack, who are you most excited to watch this year? I'll say this, not named Cassius Winston.
Are you talking about on Michigan State?
Or Michigan State.
Okay. Outside of Cassius Winston, probably Xavier Tillman, just because, you know, I think this is the year where if he really puts it together, he'll be a really enticing NBA prospect and probably a guy who could get picked in the lottery. Mm-hmm. But then also, you know, we'll see if Joey Hauser becomes eligible. If he becomes eligible, then absolutely he's, you know, near the top of my list. But I guess as a whole, it's really the power forward spot, because we seem to have 4 of the 5 starting positions kind of locked in. You know, Cassius, Aaron Henry, Josh Langford, and Xavier Tillman are all going to start.
Yep.
But then from there, you know, it's hard to tell whether it's going to be Marcus Bingham, whether it's going to be Thomas Kithier, or, you know, if Joey Hauser becomes eligible, if he's the guy who starts. So for me, I think it's probably more of a position, that last starting spot on the team, that I'm more excited to kind of see how that plays out this year.
That's a good point. For me, other than Cassius, I'm excited to watch Rocket Watts play. I think that Rocket, I've been hearing all the hype. I saw him in Moneyball. You know, and people are crazy on Twitter saying, oh, he's going to take Cash's spot. Stop it. Just be quiet. No, that's not happening. Rocket, though, is a guy, I think, who can come in and be that backup point guard, though, for Cash's Winston. I'm excited to see if he lives up to the hype. That's the other guy I'm really keying in and looking at.
No, you did say that about Foster Lawyer a year ago.
I did.
You were a big Foster Lawyer guy. And he might still be a good player. Like, he's only been at MSU for one season. But
I was so big on Foster.
You were the biggest Foster Lawyer guy, I think, on this campus.
Because I watched him in the playoffs at the Breslin, and I'm like, yo, this kid, it just shows you, man, sometimes you can't. You can't fall in love with these players, especially. Context is everything. And, you know, I was watching him against high school players, and I'm like, man, this kid can ball. He's out of control. And then he comes to Michigan State, and he didn't really live up to the hype. Now, in all fairness, his story is still being written.
Oh, absolutely. We can't write off his career. Absolutely not. But, I mean, yeah, in year one, he was – I mean, as many freshmen are, he really just wasn't ready.
And you know what, Jack? I'll say this, too, and I stand by this statement. I said it last year. A lot of that had to do with the coaching staff. A lot of that had to do with Tom Izzo, and Tom Izzo kind of admitted it as well. He didn't get a lot of playing time at the beginning of the year. So you're throwing him in these big-time situations mid-year in the real thick of things when it came to Big Ten play, and he just was not ready. I think if he had more PT to start the year, got comfortable, got some experience under his belt, he would have looked better.
Well, but you can take it a step further and to say it wasn't even necessarily the coaching staff as much as it was the injury situation, because when Josh Langford got hurt, it thrust Matt McQuaid into a position where he had to play basically 40 minutes a game. And if Langford doesn't get hurt, I think McQuaid would have been the number two point guard last year, and Foster Lawyer would have really had a developmental season.
Exactly. No, I'm with you. That's a very good point as well, man. So, all right, what we're going to do is let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'm going to play to you a bit of all of it. He spoke for 7 minutes. You know, we've got 7 minutes here in the hour to, you know, if you missed it, I know it was, you know, at like 9 o'clock in the morning. Many of you probably were on the job. If you're listening right now and you missed the Tom Izzo press conference from this morning, I'm going to play that audio for you. And I got some points to make, especially when Izzo was asked about what he thinks about the new California bill that will allow college athletes in the state of California come January of 2023 to get paid. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I really hope that you guys are staying dry on this rainy and a bit chilly Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019. What I want to do right now is roll in the Tom Izzo press conference from this morning as Big Ten Basketball Media Day occurred. And, you know, you heard every coach from the Big Ten speak within the Big Ten Conference. And Tom Izzo, of course, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, he spoke this morning. And, you know, as I mentioned in segment A, this team has a lot of hype surrounding around it. Michigan State, preseason number one in so many different publications out there. Tom Izzo spoke around 10:20 a.m., and here is what he had to say.
Well, I think like all of us, we're excited. It's a little early to start. I can't believe we're 24th. We have the Pistons in working out at our place right now. That's where they're having their training camp. And to think that we started a week earlier than the NBA is hard for me to believe after all those years of going October 15th. And it's starting to now creep into September. But you know, I've got a good team that I like with still a lot of question marks. Josh Langford, health, question mark. What we do at the four, question mark. And, And probably the other one is, you know, we did lose 30 points and 15 rebounds and trying to figure out how we get those. And yet, with Winston, Henry, and Xavier Tillman, we have three guys that played awfully well at the end of the year, and hopefully they've grown some now. So excited to be back and excited to get started.
Thank you, Coach. We will open the floor for questions for Coach Izzo on your right here.
Myron Metcalf, ESPN. Tom, obviously we've been asking coaches the same question, but the California bill that would allow players to capitalize on their images and likenesses, where do you stand on that?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I had my SID, get all you writers, get your articles on it. And I tried to read up on it and figure that you guys are the experts and you would know. So I had 9 articles and there were 9 different opinions. And mine's probably the 10th, you know. The only thing that I would say on it, I sure as hell don't think it's politicians' job to get involved in this. I'm baffled by that a little bit. But, you know, like I heard Mark say, you know, I'm in for players getting whatever they can get. I just don't know what the effects are going to be. And so I'm wide open on it, like I've been other things. I don't think I'm giving a politician's answer. I've learned over the last few years that it's hard to comment on things that you don't know a lot about. And I don't know. All this stuff gets thrown at you. I don't know what it'll be like to be on a team if some guy's doing this and some guy's getting nothing. I don't know what that does to the chemistry. I don't know how many people it's really going to benefit or to what level, Myron, it's going to benefit anybody. So I wish I could get more information, but if I said one thing that I think we should do, I think we got to get in front of this a little bit more. I think sometimes we're a little bit reactive, and meaning schools, NCAA, whatever, and I think sooner or later we got to get a little more proactive. But I'm big on helping people with cancer, and I'm big on the Coaches for Cancer. And every time I go to an event where I was trying to do more and raise more and this and that, and every once in a while I tell people, don't forget what we've accomplished. I mean, we've made great strides in that area. You know, I think the cost of attendance, the meals, the different things, and having the Pistons there and learning about the G League and their travels, there's a lot of things that we've done that are really good. I hope we can keep progressing in that manner. And if more money and there's better options, I'd be all for it. But I'm a little afraid to comment on something that I don't know what the residual effects will be on a team, a program, or anything else. So I'm for players getting as much as they can get. It keeps the playing field even and keeps everybody happy, and that's hard to do now. So if you guys got any good answers, because those of you that I read, you know, you guys were all over the map, just like I am all over the map. So I think we're all kind of questioning each other right now, and hopefully we'll all work together to come up with a solution.
Hey, Coach, Robin Washit with HuskerOnline.com. Fred Hoiberg was up here talking about your guys' relationship, specifically earlier this winter when he came up to East Lansing and spent a lot of time with you. Maybe just can you reflect on that time and you know, the bonding you guys had, and also what his addition to the league means?
Well, his his son is on my team, so that makes a bond in itself. And I asked him when he got the Nebraska job, does he want to take him with? And I think he felt the pressure of his wife and said, hell no. But I'm glad his son is with me. But I followed Fred. You know, I heard he made some comments on his name and likeness. When you're called the mayor, that means you're bigger than probably anybody in that state. You know, they might as well have called him the governor when he played. So he could have probably made a fortune in this. And but I've enjoyed the chalk talks with Fred. You know, now he probably won't share those same things with me. And I enjoyed watching what he did at Iowa State. I mean, I thought he did an incredible job there and taking that program to what was starting to become an elite level. And, you know, his opportunity at Nebraska, what I think his grandfather was a coach there. He was born or raised there. His parents are from there. His wife's not that far away. Pretty unique situation. And the fans at Nebraska, to me, are some of the best. You know, when they weren't even great, they've packed that place. And I've enjoyed Nebraska people. So it'll be fun to see Fred there. We just probably won't share chalk talks anymore.
Tom, Mike DeCourcy from Sporting News and Big Ten Network. You mentioned Joshua Langford's health still being a question mark. Can you update us on where he stands at this point?
Yeah, and what I mean by a question mark, Mike, is, you know, he was out 7 to 7.5 months with, you know, the little bone in his foot, and just because it doesn't get as much blood. And we were a little extra cautious on him because we think he's very valuable. He was playing so good for us until he got hurt. And, you know, if you look at NBA people or even college people and talk about how long is the actual recovery once you start playing, and sometimes it's half the time. Well, half the time with our schedule early, you know, there's going to be some question marks. But he has been practicing just about every day. You know, now he's in live stuff for the last 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, and making great progress. It's just the unknown of how long it'll take to get him back to where he was playing last November, December, and part of January before he got hurt. And I think he's a key guy for us because at 6'5", he can really shoot it, but he's kind of like a Gary Harris. He's a two-way player. He's one of our best defenders, and losing McQuaid, we're going to need a perimeter guy that can defend, although Aaron Henry has done a very good job of that too. So nothing... no lightning rods that are against them. It's just the time it's going to take to get him back.
So, Tom Izzo from Illinois. That was what he had to say at Big Ten Basketball Media Day today. And, again, the hot-button topic here is, you know, what do these respective coaches think about college athletes being paid? In light of this new California bill, SB 206, the Fair Pay to Play Act. And again, it won't go into effect until January of 2023. You know, schools won't be paying these salaries to athletes. Just for the first time, players will be allowed to sell the rights to their names, images, or likeness to outside bidders. All right. So if Cassius Winston wanted to, you know, go do a local car commercial or some pub, some local food joint, or go to an autograph session and sell some autographs for a certain amount of pop, or go to a local basketball camp, he could do that. Okay. And I don't see what the problem is there. I think the majority of people out there who are looking at SB 206 are saying to themselves, well, yeah, duh, this is a no-brainer, right? This is the United States of America. You should be able to profit off of your name, image, and likeness. That's what's fair. That's what the average American can do. Why can't these college athletes do that? Heck, the Olympics have been using the same model for years. And again, this was spearheaded by California State Senator Nancy Skinner, who said that, look, the NCAA has been exploiting athletes for a long, long time. This is a billion-dollar industry. How have they been able to get away with this? And then this whole thing began to move. And now you're starting to see several other states consider getting in the game and following California's lead. I mentioned on yesterday's Current Sports that politicians in Washington State, Colorado, Maryland, North Carolina, and South Carolina have all publicly supported the idea of creating something similar to what the state of California has done. And I'm seeing here, literally, as I was, you know, waiting for that Izzo bite to finish, this news broke. Well, actually, it broke around 11 a.m. I'm just now seeing it on ESPN's website. But U.S. Rep. Anthony Gonzalez, former Ohio State football standout, he is planning to propose a new national law, to give college athletes the opportunity to make endorsement money. Gonzalez, he is a Republican from Ohio. He said that he believes the federal government needs to act quickly to avoid potential problems. California, again, passing that law on Monday. that prohibits colleges in that state from punishing college athletes if they accept money in exchange for the use of their name, image, or likeness. So we'll see what happens. And you know, he's not the only one here, because a congressman in North Carolina also has proposed a federal law that would apply to all states. And I made the point on Tuesday's Current Sports that if nothing changes before 2023, when SB 206 goes in effect, then California schools would face a tough decision, because the NCAA is saying that, all right, well, California schools, you will be disqualified from participating in collegiate athletics because you have an unfair recruiting advantage. Now, I believe there's so much pressure being put on the NC2A right now that they're eventually going to fold. When that will happen, I don't know. How soon that will happen or how late that will happen, I don't know. But I think, as you heard Tom Izzo say, we got to start being more proactive here. And he did make a good point when it comes to this whole situation, that politicians, it shouldn't have taken politicians to get involved here in order for the NCAA to stop being greedy and say to themselves, let's think about some compensation for these athletes who drive in so much revenue. Yeah, we're swimming in money, and the athletes who are out there on the gridiron and on the basketball court and so on and so forth aren't getting paid a dime. It is unfair. And I think it is a control issue with the NCAA. You know, I can also speak on the whole transfer situation, right? The NCAA is all about control. And the fact that when a kid transfers to another school, that kid has to sit out a year, it's a power trip. Basically saying, hey, we own you. Yeah, you got to sit out a year. Yeah, we're putting our foot down there. Where if a coach was to transfer to a different school and coach a different school, does that coach have to sit out a year? Come on, man. The NCAA does little things like that to control its athletes. They're all about control. They just want you to go out there, be a good sportsman or sportswoman, go out there and perform and compete hard, give us all your time and energy, and you get nothing in return. Now you do get a free education. Cool. Cool. You do get some perks. But we're making billions of dollars, which pale in comparison to what these college athletes are getting, which pale in comparison to what they should be getting based on the billion-dollar industry that is the NCAA. This is long overdue, and I get it, because, you know, Izzo and these other coaches kind of have to ride the fence, because they are still employed by the NCAA, all right? There's a conflict of interest there. So I don't know if they can just come out and just say. You have to be somewhat politically correct, I guess, in their position. You can't come out and just totally go against the NCAA and say, yeah, what we're doing is wrong. We got to do this and that and this. And Izzo usually is pretty honest. So he kind of played both ends there a bit. You know, get ahead of this, be proactive, so on and so forth. And it is really disappointing, though, that it did take – that it has taken our government stepping in for this change to finally feel inevitable. It is something that was necessary and ultimately inevitable at the end of the day. And then, you know, Jack and I, we were talking a minute ago about the structure of this, because I think that's what Izzo was cautious about as well. How will this look at the end of the day? You know, the logistics of allowing compensation for student athletes. Now, I could bring up, you know, I think that the market for the best players won't change a whole lot. You know, their value to colleges and shoe companies, it is what it is. That money now going to them directly, rather than a person in or around their circle who may or may not have a huge voice in that young man's decision, that's a huge win for athletes. The athletes have power now. They have that power. You know, I've read some initial reactions to the bill that include some variations of the phrase, unfair playing field. And Jack, I must be missing something. I must be really missing something because there's very little about the NCAA model that really is a fair playing field. You know, I look at the biggest and best programs out there and conferences. Those are the schools and conferences that have the largest TV contracts, that have the most fan support, that have the best facilities. So what are you talking about here? You know, will they happen to have, what, boosters and local businesses who want to support the program's athletes? Yes, without a doubt. And in many cases, let's keep it all the way 1,000 here, in many cases, they already do, regardless of legality.
Oh, but I don't think that's going to change, even if they pass bills allowing players to get paid.
No, it's not. It's not. Not at all. You're still going to have that component is still going to be there. So, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm with Izzo in this regard, man. Hopefully the NCAA is proactive and reforms its rules, allowing college athletes across the board to be legally paid, as opposed to waiting for the government to further create those rules for them. You got to get out ahead of this thing now because it is leading the conversation in sports circles across the board. And you look really bad. You look really greedy at the end of the day. You have been for a long, 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 long time. But you really do right now if you just sit on your hands and say, well, let's just let this thing play out. And I mentioned how, you know, one legislator described this as really a giant game of chicken because you got the NCAA threatening to exclude California schools if you don't comply with our rules. And then on the other end, you got the lawmaker saying, all right, try it. So you got both cars coming to a head. Will either one get out the way? We'll see. So, Jack, any thoughts on any of that before we hit this final break?
Well, I mean, I said it to you. I pretty much agree with Tom Izzo in that I don't have a big opinion on, you know, what I think about these players getting paid until I see what the structure of what that would be is. I mean, I absolutely believe that, you know, college football and basketball players in particular need to get paid just because, you know, as an economics major, you don't see this structure anywhere else in America where, you know, college football players are responsible for so much revenue being generated, and yet they don't see any of it. They don't get any part of, you know, other than a scholarship and, you know, a stipend to live off campus. They don't really get any of those benefits themselves. So, I'm certainly in favor of college athletes being paid. I have been for a while. And I'm excited that these steps are finally happening. But, you know, we'll see what the structure looks like when it's all said and done a few years from now. I know they have until 2023, the NCAA does, until, you know, California, I guess this bill goes into action.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, we'll see what happens in the coming years.
Definitely. Thoughts, comments, concerns as we hit the final 6 minutes or so here of WKAR's Current Sports, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment there, as many of you have been doing. I see you, Mike, Ben, Chris, Stephanie, David, James. Very active Facebook page. I'm going to try to get to a few of your comments on the other side of this final break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. A few comments coming in throughout the hour. I should say not just a few. Many comments have been coming in throughout the hour here on WKAR's Current Sports, and we have hit on a few topics. Pretty much all, Michigan State basketball show, as Big Ten Basketball Media Day took place out in Illinois. We played to you what Izzo had to say. at the podium during his 7-minute media session. Ben says, hopefully we don't let the preseason ranking get to our heads again this year. We tend to let that happen when we have the preseason number one ranking and the number one ranking during the season. Look, it's only one team has gone wire to wire. To your point, Ben, only one team has done that, and that was North Carolina back in 2009. Ranked preseason number one, held it throughout the year, won the national championship. It is so tough to do, and you are going to get everybody's best shot when you have a target on your back like that. What I love about Tom Izzo is that, you know, he's that anytime, anyplace, anywhere kind of coach. He's always been that way, and he embraces that number one ranking, because if you want to be amongst the Dukes and the Kentuckys and the Kansases, you want to be in that number, right? Well, hold it down when you got the number one ranking and embrace that. You know, this is good for your program. It's great for the campus. It's great for the fans. I love it. And this team has a lot of talent on it. Yeah, it would be very disappointing if they did drop the ball, pun intended, and don't go far this year. It was great to see them go all the way to the Final Four in a game that they were favored and I thought should have. But that, gosh, that Texas Tech game, and Jack and I was there, that Texas Tech defense was just so darn good. But they returned a lot, got a lot of, you know, firepower coming off that bench, some great young talent. I'm excited to watch this team this season. Let's see here. A few other comments coming in. I just see some back and forth about when MSU Madness is going to be. A few of you guys have said that MSU Madness is going to be on the 25th. I don't know about that one. Nothing has officially come out. I don't know where you guys heard that, but we have not gotten official word from MSU Athletics as to when MSU Madness is going to be. And I'm sure I'm going to be in the inside loop when that comes to that, because I'll be emceeing it again this year for my fourth year. I'll let you guys know when that officially becomes official. All right, maybe you guys got some inside scoop that I don't have.
I actually think they broke it at Spartan Stadium on Saturday.
Did they? Oh, did they? Oh, snaps. So is it the 25th?
I believe that's right. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Oh, snaps. Well, I must have been sleeping when that announcement was made. All right. Well, thank you, Jack. All right, folks, 20 seconds left. I want you guys to have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday afternoon and evening. Again, stay dry. It's a cold, rainy, and wet one out there. And as always, be easy, people.